I'm Jerome Hudson, Breitbart News entertainment editor, author of the book 50 Things They Don't Want You to Know About Trump, sitting in today for Breitbart News editor-in-chief Alex Marlowe. This is the Breitbart News Daily Podcast. Well, it only took 1 year of Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and the clown car that is the Democrat Party to govern so badly that millions of Americans have abandoned the Democrat Party. That's what the data from Gallup says to me. I give my thoughts today on why and how a 14-point shift from Democrat to the GOP happened and what it means for the country going forward. I also discuss the so-called smart people on the left who are seemingly inventing new ways of insulting their own base. It doesn't bode well for November. But first, I'm sure I'm not the only one who's noticed. Everything is getting expensive. We're in the biggest economic crisis since 2008, with a government that's printing trillions and trillions of dollars. Consumer prices are the highest we've seen in 30 years. Inflation is certainly here to stay. And if the government continues its out-of-control printing and spending, the dollar could continue its freefall and lose its coveted role as the world reserve currency. So, how do you protect your money, your retirement, your savings? Well, American Hartford Gold can show you how to hedge your hard-earned savings against inflation by helping you diversify a portion of your portfolio into physical gold and silver. They'll even help move your existing IRA or 401k out of the volatile stock market into a precious metals IRA. And they make it easy. They are the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. And if you call them right now, they will give you up to $1,500 of free silver on your first qualifying order. So don't wait. Call them now. 866-670-7660. That's 866-670-7660. Or text Alex to 65532. Again, that's 866-670-7660 or text Alex to 65532. I want to start today with the national divorce from the Democrat Party, I believe, is gaining momentum. I try not to come on the program and appear too optimistic. And some people say that I fail at that. But I'm just looking down the field, big picture, trying to piece things together to create a clear picture, if you will. And the mosaic of national politics that I see is becoming clearer and clearer almost every day. And Gallup polling just out this week has helped in a major way. John Nolte writing, throughout 2021, the country moved away from the Democrat Party and toward the GOP by 14 points. At the beginning of 2021, 49% of the country identified as Democrat, while 40% said they were Republicans. But by the end of 2021, 47% said they were Republicans, and only 42% said they identified as Democrat. That, according to John Nolte's math, because mine is terrible, is a 14-point shift toward the Republican Party. Nolte continues, it's been 25 years since the GOP held a 5-point lead over Democrats. These Gallup findings are based on 12,000 randomly sampled adults contacted throughout 2021. So Gallup went a long way to actually finding people, and they found 12,000 of them randomly selected, I imagine, from all corners of the country, from all walks of life, from different socioeconomic standings, different races, different religions, only two sexes, because that is science. And they asked these people how they identify politically. Now, I mean, some people, I imagine most of these people spoke very, very honestly to Gallup, which is a good thing. I don't know about you guys, but whenever I get a phone call from a pollster or someone taking a survey, a national survey, issues survey, I it's just unbridled honesty. I actually revel in it because, well, I have worked from home since I left Peter Schweitzer's Government Accountability Institute in 2016, and my cat still doesn't talk, and there aren't very many interactions with human beings. It's one of the reasons why I feel so happy and blessed to host this program whenever Alex needs backup, because you guys call in and it's just like, oh, people exist. And so I'm unbridled in my truth whenever I get one of these phone calls, as I imagine these 12,000 people were throughout the year of 2021 when Gallup called them asking about their party affiliation. It, like, politics is strained in the country, and you just never know if you're actually talking to somebody who says that they are calling from the polling establishment that they claim to be calling from. But I'd like to assume that, you know, Gallup is running a pretty good operation. They do seem to be one of the few polling agencies that aren't, you know, failed by politics, if you will. Doesn't mean that Gallup is perfect, but I think we can trust, for the most part, certainly within the margin of error, the information that they're giving us here. And this is monumental. Matt Boyle called it yesterday potentially the biggest story of 2021, certainly in the backdrop of the day after Election Day in November here, just a handful of months away. Yeah, I tend to agree. And I've been on this months or maybe years long campaign now of just trying to figure out the country, trying to figure out contemporary politics, trying to answer the question that so many people ask. Why do certain subsets of the country continuously vote the way that they vote when they can't answer the question, how have their lives gotten better over the years, over the decades even, of supporting one party? And information like this and this Gallup poll goes a long way to doing that. John Nolte continues, dramatic strength reached levels not seen in nearly a decade. By the third quarter, those Democratic gains evaporated as Biden's job approval declined. The political winds continued to become more favorable to Republicans in the fourth quarter of 2021, giving the GOP an advantage over Democrats larger than any they had achieved in more than 25 years. The numbers in the Gallup poll, Nolte continues above, are based on quarterly averages. One warning sign for the GOP is that the polling during the final month of 2021 shows the Republican Party up by only 2 points, 46% to 44%. But as Gallup notes, that 2-point lead, quote, still represents a departure from the historical norm of the Democratic Party having at least a slight advantage in party affiliation. So as long as Gallup has been asking this question, and we know they've been asking it for at least a quarter century, the historical trend is that Democrats usually have an advantage whenever Americans are asked how they associate or affiliate themselves between the two major parties in this country. Nolte continues, this tracks with two things: the Republicans' ongoing advantage in the generic congressional ballot and the respective fortunes of his fraudulency, Joe Biden, and former President Trump, meaning Trump is now seen more favorably than Biden, something that seemed impossible a year ago. I think that it was Real Clear Politics that had that number, or at least pointed it out about a week ago. Pretty fascinating. Nolte continues, what this all comes down to, of course, is the failure of Democrats everywhere, not just Biden, to govern with anything approaching competence, and the corporate media losing its influence and ability to gaslight the public. That last point, I celebrate, I relish, I accept with a healthy amount of skepticism. I just don't believe that the corporate media has the type of influence that they had even 5 years ago. They were able to pull off a massive national gaslighting campaign, whether it was Russia or Mueller or, you know, the man who eventually became the president, you know, amassing billions of dollars in a career that he did, but also being dumb enough to walk into a Russian hotel and let prostitutes urinate on him. Like, but the media ran with it, and it was largely successful. Half of my book about Donald Trump's accomplishments in his first term were about how the media gaslighted the country and how the man in his administration was still able to do amazing feats despite all of the propaganda coming from multi-billion dollar media corporations and social media. But none of this is terribly shocking or surprising to me, what the Gallup polling is telling us here. And again, this blow is softened for me because I am dedicating so many hours of every day trying to sift through information and data like this, poll after poll, survey after survey, anecdotal conversation after anecdotal conversation, hearing from you, the callers, the audience, reading the comments section on not just Breitbart.com, but Washington Post, New York Times, comment sections, the entertainment media, from the Hollywood Reporter to Variety to Entertainment Weekly. People are pissed off in this country. And that is one of a few points that this Gallup poll is saying, a 14-point shift away from the Democrat Party and toward Republicans who are not even in power. People are divorcing themselves from crazy and identifying with the Republican Party, which has won several local elections, McAllen, Texas, and other elections in Texas, in Iowa, in Connecticut, obviously in Virginia. And we saw the gains Republicans made in New Jersey just a few months ago. But in terms of Washington politics, Republicans have nothing. They have nothing. They can do nothing. They are out of power. And in fact, Joe Biden's agenda is being stalled and grinding to a halt because it's just too crazy for a few Democrats willing to actually put their names and their faces out there to take the beating and the bludgeoning from the wild ass base of the Democrat Party. But for people, this has to be something that we also take into account. The non-political issues or issues that, you know, I think millions of people, particularly parents, never actually saw as political. I drop my kid off to school. I pick them up. And hopefully when I pick them up from school or when I pick them up from the bus stop or however you pick your children up, that they will be smarter then than they were when I dropped them off to school. And I do this 5 or 4 times a week. And, you know, this accumulates over the course of 18 or so years. And by the time that I send them off, if they go away to college, they'll be smart and they'll be prepared academically and they'll be matured as human beings. And I can trust them to not lose their minds and go crazy on this foreign campus in another state or city. And I think that the mask slipped just enough that a lot of people realize that they had put way too much trust in the administrators, the local leaders, in educational offices in their towns, in their cities, in their counties, and in their states, because children had been lied to and parents had been betrayed. And that feeling of betrayal, to know that your children is actually being taught racist or hypersexualized curricula, yeah, I think it rightfully pissed off a lot of people who probably didn't approach their children's education through a political lens. I think that's a huge part of the anger fomenting in this country. That rage and that disappointment and that feeling of betrayal. Like, I don't want this. What the Democrat Party has been giving me or leftist politicians. I mean, if we just think about like how Democrats spent 2020 and 2021, the Nazis in Beijing knew that they had an airborne virus spreading across many different cities and provinces in China. And those Chinese officials, when asked by World Health Organization officials if they thought that this new novel virus spread from human to human, they lied and they said no. And days turned to weeks and weeks turned to months. And the rest is horrific, deadly, catastrophic history. And when the virus and the pandemic and the public policies came to the United States and started to spread across cities and states, from coast to coast, different states and different cities and counties enacted different policies, what did the Democrat Party and the Democrat media, but Democrat Party politicians, what were they doing? What were they clamoring for and championing? The pandemic telling people they couldn't go to work, or telling people that they couldn't operate their businesses, or couldn't go to a grocery store. But we also subconsciously accepted the fact that goods and services would continue, products would continue to be brought in from the ports and into large buildings, and that people would get up and go to work and take those products and load them onto crates, and those crates would be loaded onto to the back of freights, and truckers would connect and then ship those products all across the country. Like we didn't even think about how our national supply chain would continue, but it did. Thankfully, to the truckers, the men and women, many of them who listen to this show dutifully. Like, all of these things continue to happen, but there were lapses, there were holes in a lot of theories that public policy couldn't actually respond to. How socially the pandemic and locking down large swaths of cities and states and counties, how that would affect the people on the ground. First responders, fire, paramedics, police. But if you're a rabid Democrat, a leftist radical who in many cases doesn't even have to worry about their own personal safety because you're surrounded by armed guards, or if you hadn't been, well, and it actually dawned on you that a pandemic is here, there's huge social upheaval in the country, I better get some protection for myself. It's the Lori Lightfoots and the Corey Bushes and the rest of the squad members. These Democrats spent 2020 and large swaths of 2021 arguing for the defunding of police in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of social upheaval in this country. Fewer police on the streets. When we had people rioting and hundreds, over 500 riots in this country over the span of months after the death of George Floyd. You had sitting Democrat politicians calling for the defunding of police departments while the police departments from coast to coast were burning to the ground. No, it's not shocking to me that people are saying the hell with the Democrat Party. And to no one's surprise, after weeks and months of this Democrat campaign to defund the police and calling for the defunding of the police and the evil bastards in corporate media, a reporter standing in front of a fire, a neighborhood on fire, and calling the protests peaceful, mostly peaceful. To no one's surprise, crime stats in this country rocketed in many cases to historic highs. Democrats were calling for fewer cops on the streets. And it resulted in more murders, more rapes, more theft, more people being beaten to a pulp. I would often have to question myself after seeing one surveillance video after another of just someone walking on the street of New York City and being accosted, being swung on, or being jacked. Like, that's not normal. And I have to be shocked by this. I have to remind myself to be appalled by it. That cannot be normal in a civilized country. You even have the Vice President, Kamala Harris, and her staffers promoting bail funds to help criminals get out of jail. I reported dozens of times on Hollywood celebrities, many of them who live in gated communities far away from any actual fear of the type of crime that these suspected criminals were actually being jailed for, promoting these jail funds. Your Seth Rogans, your Jay-Z's, you name it. Worst people on the planet actually promoting some of the worst and dangerous and deadly things that they could at the worst actual possible time. Not to mention the fact that criminals by the thousands, probably tens of thousands, were freed from jail during the height of the pandemic. Yes, that's right. The through line of this, in so many cases, is the fact that you had a deadly airborne virus spreading its way from person to person and body to body in this country. And it affected so much of the public policy, which was already bad. It compounded the problem. Remember this story from just 2 weeks ago? A report by Houston's Fox 26 about over 150 people being murdered by suspects that Democrat judges released on bond in Harris County, Texas. That's just like an isolated event. That happened over the course of a long time. But that's the point. And the common denominator just being that they were Democrat judges is just insane to me. What did Joe Biden do on day one? He killed border enforcement as we know it in this country. I talked yesterday about how we had stifled and blocked about 75% of illegal immigration in this country on January 1, 2021, in the waning days of Donald Trump's first term in office. The man did things, again, that any president could have done. He threatened Mexico. He's like, look, get your crap together or I'm going to tax your products coming to this country to hell. Mexico sent and in many ways developed its own National Guard border for its southern border. The president threatened China into making fentanyl a class one substance and shutting down many of its fentanyl distribution centers. It all culminated in, you know, fewer drug overdoses that this country had seen in 3 decades, an actual secure border, certainly not perfect by any means. But the situation was competent. It was a lot safer. The situation at the border would create fewer instances in which Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez would go down to the border and cry, weeping for all the pain and horror. Joe Biden just killed it all. I mean, he literally just rolled it back on day one, did away with Remain in Mexico, gutted Trump's Title 42 program, which, you know, blocked most quote-unquote asylum seekers. Title 42, like, was instituted by the Department of Defense and the CDC, you know, because, and HHS, because we're in the middle of a global pandemic. It's like, we can't have people coming into this country that we don't even know from, and now we know people from over 100 countries were coming into the United States illegally. Democrats pushed to close schools. I'm pretty sure there were a lot of conservative or Republican policymakers who were nervous, who were scared, didn't know what to do. At the time, we didn't know much about the virus, couldn't understand it, didn't know how it would affect people, children even. But it was Democrats who pushed for the closure of schools way past the point where we actually gained that information about the virus, when the science, as we are told, was staring us in the face. And you had a handful of Republican governors who took very risky decisions, I would say, but weighed the cost of the mental health of young children. I'm speaking of Ron DeSantis here in Florida. In the fall of 2020, he said, you know what? I am not doing this. I am going to empower counties in the state of Florida to make the decision to send children back to school. We've looked at the science, and it is telling us that while not foolproof, it is overwhelmingly safe to do so. And it did happen. But large swaths of this country did not make the same decision. And Democrat politicians continued to keep children out of schools, away from their peers. It cost dramatically. Suicide rates skyrocketed. Depression, obesity, now, you name it. And when it fell to the youngest and the most vulnerable citizens, where were Democrats who often speak for the vulnerable? Oh, no, they were actually pushing for the closure of schools. The worst policy, one of the worst that you can imagine. They continued to peddle and push racist critical race theory and transgenderism during the curriculums. You know, we're not face to face, but you still have to learn this racist and hypersexualized stuff. Parents got pissed off when they saw this. Time and time again, Democrats continue to push horrific policies on this country. And that began in 2020. By the time Gallup started asking people what party affiliation they went with, of course they said they were not Democrats in droves and that they identify Republicans. And Republicans were just mostly the party of common sense. It wasn't like a hard sell. Like, my neighborhood is dangerous as hell, and I don't want fewer police. God bless them. I want more, actually. It was actually Harvard Harris. And Harvard Harris specifically, when polling, asked Black Americans, do you want more police? And by margins of 80 plus, the answer was yes. Hell yes, I want more police in my neighborhood. And Democrats were like, defund the police. I Googled like police poll Black Americans Breitbart and just got like 9 in 10 Black Americans reject the calls to defund the police. On issue after issue that Democrats pushed in 2020 and 2021. I mean, just on all of it, surveys finding that huge swaths of Hispanics were actually against illegal immigration. Many Blacks are now leaving New York and California over wages, a huge issue spurred on by illegal immigration. Multiple polls show the public is increasingly opposed to the federal government's economic policy of cheap labor migration. The borders have been thrown open for an entire year. All of this makes perfect sense to me. It's why you can have a town of 90% Hispanic people living in it voting for the Republican candidate. Like, the media is shocked. Corporate media is like, how is this happening? We've been telling Hispanic people that Donald Trump is Hitler and that Republicans hate them and want their children and their families to die. How is it that support amongst the Republican Party is actually growing with Hispanics? How is this happening? It goes back to John Nolte's point. People are fleeing the Democrat Party in droves because the corporate media is losing influence. People are being pressed against the hard, concrete reality of the dangerous policies of the Democrat Party. This poll saying that there has been a 14-point shift away from the Democrat Party and toward the Republican Party, it's not everything, but damn it, it's something. Did you know there's a conservative advocacy and benefits organization with more than 2 million members and counting? AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. AMAC has become one of the most impactful conservative organizations in America. Joining AMAC gives you access to money-saving benefits, cutting-edge news, and a magazine full of insightful takes on today's most important issues. But most importantly, AMAC is working tirelessly to preserve the freedom secured by our Constitution. With a full-time presence on Capitol Hill, AMAC is pushing back against the efforts to defund our police, weaken our borders, and replace your freedom with government controls. Stand with me and over 2 million patriots by joining right now at amac.us/Breitbart. That's amac.us/Breitbart. The benefits are great, but the cause is greater. Join today at amac.us/Breitbart. We're joined on the program today by Dr. Ben Carson, former HUD secretary, former presidential candidate, and founder of the American Cornerstone Institute. Dr. Carson says he's seen the frustration among American citizens at their elected leaders before, and he believes critical race theory is at the heart of that anger. But he also believes there's hope. He says his organization is giving those newly politically engaged parents the tools they need to teach their children about the greatness of America. Let's roll that. Dr. Carson, pleasure to have you on.
Nice to be with you. Thank you so much.
It's been a while since since we talked. You brought me onto your presidential campaign bus in Tallahassee, Florida. I think it was a Barnes and Noble, and
Yeah,
I
I
just
remember.
yeah no I just remember meeting you and your wife Candy, and I remember thinking, this woman is the sweetest woman I've ever met, and my God, her husband is a front runner for president of the United States. The country would have.
It's interesting that you mentioned that because she and I just finished another book
Oh, yes.
called Created Equal, which is a pushback against critical race theory, and I think will give people a lot of perspective.
It's a good segue to my first question, Dr. Carson, which is, you had President Biden give what was a very divisive and enraged speech in Atlanta last Tuesday, and he did it sort of to create and coalesce support for, these voting bills that have no legislative chance of making it to his desk to be signed into law. But he once again in that speech in Atlanta proved that he was never really going to be this healer and of a divided country, if anybody really even wanted him to be that in the first place. And we honored Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on Monday, and I've played this audience, Dr. Carson, audio of Al Sharpton calling the black people standing behind Donald Trump props. It's just the division and the racist rhetoric from the left and from the Democrat Party. It's just like they're doubling and tripling down on it. And you compound that with critical race theory, how they're pushing that onto our children in schools. It is good to see you out there pushing back, but what were your thoughts, with the party and with President Biden in the last week leading into Dr. Martin Luther King Day?
It certainly doesn't surprise me some of the rhetoric that they come up with because I think a lot of people on the left are the most racist people in our society. When President Biden said, "If you're having trouble deciding between me and Donald Trump, you ain't black," that's one of the most racist statements I have ever heard in my life. Basically, he's saying, "I get to define what blackness is. You don't get to define it." And, a lot of the left, they decide on the basis of the color of your skin how you're supposed to think. And if you don't think that way, they have all kinds of horrible epithets they attach to you. And if that's not racist, I don't know what is. And I think it's so important that people begin to think for themselves and to open their eyes and experience what's going on. Don't just listen to a bunch of racist pundits telling you what you're supposed to think, what you're supposed to be outraged about. That's manipulation. That's been going on for a long time, and it's not getting you anywhere. And the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result.
Right. Dr. Ben Carson, former HUD secretary and founder of the American Cornerstone Institute, joining the program right now. As we mentioned before, you did run a great campaign for president. So you've in you know even in your time before that and since then, you've traveled this country. But I imagine while you were running for president, I mean, you were talking to just people from all walks of life all over this country. And I'm wondering, Dr. Carson, if there was ever really a time in your life or in your political life when you could say that you sort of felt this sense, this palpable feeling of frustration and anger, but also like this teeming hope. Because when I look at what the elections in Virginia and in New Jersey, and you watch the videos of people, not just in Loudoun County, but in Ohio, all over the country, attending these school board meetings, these parents are rightfully pissed off that their children are not in school in person learning. And then when they are, these parents realize that their children are being, indoctrinated with this racist curricula and this hypersexualized transgenderism. I mean, there's something really happening out there. And I'm just wondering if you've sort of felt or seen it before, something close to it.
Well, yes, absolutely. The fact of the matter is, we are removing hope from our society. You said a very important word there. America has been the place of hope. It's the reason that people came here. If we were this systemically racist place, horrible place, why would people be forming caravans trying to get in here? They'd be forming caravans trying to get out. That's what I'm talking about when I say open your eyes, see what's going on, instead of just listening to what's going on. And our children, record high numbers of suicides and suicide attempts and depression and anxiety. They're being destroyed. And then they're being taught, if you're white, you're an oppressor. If you're black, you have no hope because this system is stacked against you. What a bunch of garbage.
Yeah.
If I'd listened to that stuff when I was growing up, my life would have turned out extremely differently. And even back then, people were always saying things like that, system stacked against you, you can't succeed. But my mother, who had less than a third good education, always said, Benjamin, anything anybody else can do, you can do, except you can do it better. She was always the voice of hope and never accepted excuses. That's what we need to be teaching our children, the can-do attitude that made America great. And, that's what we do with our Little Patriots program at the American Cornerstone Institute. It's a free internet K-5 teaching program. Teaches our young people who we really are as a nation, what our principles are, what our cornerstones are, faith, liberty, community, life. And, we have an amazing country. Do we have defects? Of course, because we're inhabited by people and people are imperfect. But, you don't dwell on the defects. You look at the things that are good and you build on those. What critical race theory has chosen to do is build on the defects and make that the central point. And, you take a kid and you're raising them. If you spend all your time talking about their defects and how horrible they are, what kind of person are they going to turn out to be versus if you encourage them based on the things that they're doing correctly?
Dr. Ben Carson, former HUD secretary and founder of the American Cornerstone Institute, joining the program right now. One of the ironies, and you sort of touched on this a little bit, is the people peddling this racist critical race theory message and actually pushing it into course curriculum in middle and high schools and elementary schools. This guy, Ibram X. Kendi, I think his newest book, Dr. Carson, is Goodnight Racism. He's How to Be Anti-Racist. He's the director of the Center for Anti-Racist Research at Boston University. That's a terrifying sentence I just said. But Nicole Hannah-Jones, she's got a career at New York Times. These people are, as you said, pushing this message that if you're born black, you're born inferior, born with one hand tied behind your back. You shouldn't have any high expectations, certainly of achieving educational or socioeconomic achievement in this country if you're born black. And yet they're all black and they're all preaching this message and they're making thousands of dollars a speech and they got book deals. I mean, they found success.
And it's really quite insulting. When they say, let's get rid of the standardized testing because, the minority students aren't going to do well on that. And, trying to be precise and accurate, that's acting white. What a bunch of garbage.
Yeah.
And, I think it's actually child abuse, what they're doing. Can you imagine what it's like to be a child today, a small child? You got to wear a mask. So you don't get to see facial expressions. You miss out on a very important sociological development aspect of life. And then you're told you may be harboring some horrible disease. And even though you don't feel bad, you may give it to your grandmother. And then, grandmothers do get older and they do die. Now you're feeling guilty about that. And then if you're white, you're an oppressor. And if you're black, you know, you're a victim. And all of this while you're trying to develop a self-image. Can you imagine what that feels like? And then if that's not bad enough, you may not be a girl or a boy. I mean, they have got to be terribly confused.
And I think there's now an overwhelming amount of evidence that parents in this country, we're talking about millions of people that I assume, Dr. Carson, were just not very political. And even if they were political, they certainly didn't really have a reason to show up at school board meetings or do what so many hundreds or thousands of them are doing and running for positions on school board meetings. And it doesn't surprise me at all because of what you just said. I mean, the left has come out full bore and has said, yes, your children are our property, and they will learn whatever the hell we want to teach them, no matter how obscene it is. We will desecrate history as they know it. We will push hypersexualized content onto them, and you can do nothing. And in fact, you have no say in it.
Yeah, it's incredible. And people have known this, you know, for thousands of years. I mean, you can go back to the Bible. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, and not depart from it. And it was Vladimir Lenin who said, give me your children to teach for 4 years, and the seed that I plant will never be uprooted. Yeah. I mean, people have known for a long time about the importance of planting that seed early on. And if it's a wrong seed, it grows up to be the wrong tree.
Thankfully, you have your organization, the American Cornerstone Institute, and the Little Patriots program is two-pronged. So it's featuring books as well as online learning. People can go to littlepatriotslearning.com. Walk the audience through your decision, Dr. Carson, to found this institute, but to also launch this Little Patriots program.
Yeah, but basically, I was going to retire after the election last year. And I was looking forward to that because I was going to retire before after my medical career, and I failed retirement then. So I said, this time I'm going to make it. But looking at the direction of the country, how it was rapidly declining, I said, I'm not going to enjoy retirement. I'm not going to have a good time out on the golf course. So myself and a number of really outstanding people who I work with at HUD, we got together and we said, we're going to create an institute, a think tank / do tank, around the cornerstone principles that made America great. You know, we went from a ragtag bunch of militiamen to the pinnacle of the world in record time, and it was not an accident. It was because of our faith, which taught us how to relate to each other. It teaches you to love your neighbor, not to hate your neighbor, not to cancel your neighbor. And liberty, freedom, including freedom of speech. Some people say we haven't lost that, but we have, because it's not just the government who can take that away from you. It's social media, big tech, with the complicit agreement of the government. It has the same impact. And then community, being able to work together. We have a lot more that binds us together than that divides us, but you need appropriate leadership in order to make that happen. And then the whole concept of life. You know, as we've grown further away from our respect for life from the womb to the tomb, we become more coarse in our relationships with each other. And those things need to be addressed. And then recognizing that that starts with the children, that's why we started the Little Patriots program. Our first children's book, Why America Matters, recently made an appearance. And, you know, beautiful pictures that really grab the children and bring them in to help them to understand that this is a special place and we're privileged to be here and we all have responsibility to keep it that way. And there's a little eagle that appears on every page, Liberty Eagle.
Yeah.
We emphasize the point that eagle has a left wing and a right wing. And you can't fly with two right wings or two left wings. We have to learn how to cooperate together. We have to learn how to work together. We're called the United States of America. So we were fortunate enough to be able to get a lot of underwriters. And that's why at LittlePatriotsLearning.com, it's a free program, beautiful material. And it'll get the children moving in the right direction, and it's compatible with iPhones, iPads, desktops, laptops, anything, so that you can take it with you and learn, and it's done in a way that's fun for the children.
Amazing. That is Dr. Ben Carson. The organization is the American Cornerstone Institute and the project. You can find more about it at LittlePatriotsLearning.com. Dr. Carson, I'm sure that there are a lot of people listening to us right now who are glad that you failed at retirement again. I appreciate you joining the program.
All right. Thank you. So nice to be with you again.
Hey, we're back, making new memories in a new world. I found the best way to hold on to those memories is by turning them into art that lasts forever from paintyourlife.com. Now that we can get out and travel and take vacations, we want to celebrate some of our favorite times by turning our new memories into art. When I heard about paintyourlife.com, I thought, what a great idea for a gift for birthdays, anniversary, wedding, etc. But I figured it must be expensive. Not so. If you want to give a truly meaningful gift, you've got to try paintyourlife.com. Get a professional, hand-painted portrait created from any photo at a truly affordable price. Or combine photos of people or places you love into one painting. Choose from a team of world-class artists and work with them until every detail is perfect. User-friendly platform makes it easy to order custom-made, hand-painted portrait in less than 5 minutes. It's fast. You can receive your portrait in as little as 2 weeks. Send any picture, yourself, your children, family, a special place, someone you loved who isn't around anymore, a cherished pet, even an action shot of you or your children playing your favorite sport. It makes the perfect birthday, anniversary, or wedding gift. Meaningful, personal, and can be cherished forever. At paintyourlife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money is refunded, guaranteed. And right now, as a limited time offer, get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off and free shipping. To get this special offer, text the word Breitbart to 64,000. That's Breitbart to 64,000. Text Breitbart to 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Terms apply. Available at paintyourlife.com/turn. Again, text Breitbart to 64,000. Caller of the day is Smitty from New Jersey. Smitty's got one heck of a theory about the Democrat Party's long-term strategy of a Joe Biden presidency leading to something really big in 2024. Here's a hint. It rhymes with Hillary Clinton.
I've heard you play the role of the devil's advocate, so I'm going to do that for a second real quick.
Oh, boy.
I think there's a two-part plan when it came to putting Joe Biden into place, and you could disagree with me if you like, but I think, number one, they said, let this guy be as incompetent as he possibly can be, and mm-hmm. maybe some stuff will stick to the wall. Maybe we'll get some stuff out of it that we want. Number two, we'll make him look, let him be as bad as he wants to be. Let him be as bad as we want to be, and then maybe someday, like Obama and these guys will think, maybe we can get Hillary to look good. If Joe Biden is this bad, then maybe somebody might go, you know what? Maybe Hillary wasn't so bad. You know, none of us would say that, of course. We think evil as the day is long. But
Smitty, your first point and maybe your second point actually makes the assumption that in some reality, in some alternate universe, it was ever possible for Joe Biden to actually be competent. You like put him up there and make him look bad. Nobody's making Joe Biden be.
No, I think they knew horrible... that. I think they knew he was.
Oh my God!
They
what
they knew that he was.
But what? It's failing. It's failing. Yeah. They're his polls.
But now
their
they can
polls.
Get Hillary and who they wanted all along. They wanted their money puppeteer. In
there. Oh my God! They're gonna. I haven't even gotten to this Larry Sabato, University of Virginia election thing. Larry Sabato, I think, literally hates Donald Trump, and he's certainly no Republican. But the dude knows like polling and surveys and sentiment, public sentiment. And he's like, yeah, Republicans are going to blow this thing out of the water. I hear what you're saying, Smitty, but to destroy the Democrat Party for 25, 30 years electorally just to get Hillary Clinton in office, that's what they're doing. The rage fomenting in this country at Democrats, I just, you know, explained at least Gallup's survey of 2021.
I don't know if they expected it to get this far off.
You drop in a nuclear bomb of stupidity like Joe Biden, and they're like, oh, it'll be bad, but not
brutal.
This bad.
It's brutal. I got Democrat friends who I would fight with on Facebook or wherever and on my job, and they don't say nothing now. Nothing.
They can't. What the hell are they going to say, Smitty?
Exactly.
New Jersey is going to be a red state after the plan that you're saying, at least your logic is that they threw him out.
I think we could have been. I believe Murphy got elected. I'll be honest.
Murphy
was another one where he was losing or whatever, and then all of a sudden in the middle.
Yeah, he also pushed positive COVID patients in the long term living facilities and nursing homes. Smitty, I appreciate the call. Oh. Stay safe up there. Stay warm. Just keep fighting for New Jersey. A couple more elections, I think you might be a red state.
I got American parts. I got American faith.
And that's today's show. Thanks so much for supporting the podcast and Breitbart News. This is the Breitbart News Daily Podcast. Thanks for listening.
I got stars in my eyes.